Colin Mochrie may have one of the fastest minds around. The comedian is best known for his role on Whose Line Is It Anyway? And audiences in Atlanta can see him live tonight and tomorrow at Dad's Garage. Colin joins me in our studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
When did you first suspect you might be good at improv? Like, when did you first think, hey, this is my niche?
Oh, well, there wasn't a time. When I was growing up, it didn't exist. So it wasn't until I first saw improv, some friends were demonstrating, and I thought, oh, this would be interesting to try out. You don't really have to learn anything. You just make up crap. I can do that. And I took a workshop and found that I really had an affinity for it. And so it just became something I loved doing, and I never thought, oh, this is going to be my career. So it's really worked out nicely for me.
I mean, obviously, you have to practice and rehearse improv quite a lot, which seems antithetical, but it's not. But do you think an improvisation pro is born or made?
Oh, well, I think anyone can do improv. I mean, all our lives are improvised. So basically, the two rules are doing the things that we don't do in real life, which is listening and accepting other people's ideas. That is the hardest hurdle for new improvisers to get over. There's that thing in us where, no, my idea is better. And once you learn to let that go, you can be a good improviser. I think the humor aspect, I think you're born with it. I don't think anyone, classes could make you funnier. They can't make you funny. You have to have that, I think, to begin with.
Let's hear from the late comic Del Close. He's often called the father of long-form improv. He played a big role in forming Second City. Here he is speaking in 1970. He's talking to the legendary journalist Studs Terkel and explaining why he thinks improv is more than just sketch comedy.
The theater of psychology, the theater of feeling, is very much on the way out. And it's only through action that we understand someone, not through what they tell us about themselves. No soliloquy is going to reveal nearly so much about what the guy does as what he does after the soliloquy, what the guy's like, rather. And that's what I'm trying to get to in improvisation as well.
So how do you, when you're practicing improv, how do you balance the verbal, what you're saying, and you're so good at the one-liners, right, mm-hmm. with the physicality that he's talking about?
You know, it all depends on the scene. You know, I don't really practice improv. What I do is try to get to a state where I'm just totally relaxed on walking out onto a stage in front of an audience who have paid good money to see a show that I don't have at that moment. So you're open to everything that comes along. And then your body and mind go into sort of a survival mode where you start physicalizing. Even the smallest moment can get a laugh and get an audience to go, I know that movement, I know that person, I know that situation. It just becomes an organic thing that you and your partners sort of start to breathe together and make this living scene. It's such a bizarre art form because it truly just lasts for that moment. If you saw someone say, you know, I saw this really funny show last night, the guy walked like a duck. And you go, well, what? You had to be there to see the entire process and why that was funny at that moment. It really is such a, it's like a firefly or something. It just lives for that 2 hours and then it's gone forever.
Although there are people who watch reruns of Whose Line Is It Away endlessly. Here's a pretty popular sketch. One of the sketches that you did numerous times on that show was where you played a news anchor and each time you had a different name. Here are a few of those names.
Welcome to the 6 o'clock news. I'm your anchor, Arthur Any More Donuts. Welcome to the 6 o'clock news. I'm your anchor, Earl from Ipanema. Welcome to the 6 o'clock news. I'm your anchor, Wolverine St. Jack John. Welcome to the 6 o'clock news. I'm your anchor, Lars of the Red Hot Lovers.
You shook her. You shook.
It's just sad when you hear them all in a row. Oh, the career's gone now.
Just joining me, I'm speaking with comedian Colin Mochrie, who is performing tonight and tomorrow at Dad's Garage. I mean, do you often go back and listen to improvisation or sketches that you've done?
No. There are times where I'll be, you know, clicking channels and I'll see a Whose Line and watch it. And it's I'm watching as an audience because I have no memory of that particular scene. I mean, the only one, and now I don't know if I know it because I remember, or I've just seen it so many times, is the Richard Simmons scene where I use him as a jet ski that yet to be there.
Well, actually, we have a little clip of that also. We first hear Drew Carey introducing everyone.
Let's continue the show with a game called, I love this game, Living Scenery. This is for Ryan, Colin, and Wayne. And Richard Simmons, everybody. Richard Simmons. Ryan and Colin are going to act out a scene. During the scene, they have to use a number of props. However, since they don't have any real props to work with
tonight. I'll be the prop.
Right, Wayne and Richard.
He was so committed.
Yes.
You've got to love that.
What makes a good partner in improv? I mean, you've already said somebody who listens and responds, right? Mm-hmm. Is that basically all that you need?
That's it. And trust, someone that you totally trust. You know, I work with Ryan Stiles a lot, and I tour with Brad Sherwood. Both those guys, I usually know where they're going to go in a scene. But when I don't, I trust them both enough to just follow along and see what's going to happen. So trust is a big part.
So when you're doing improv, I mean, improv, I assume, is a relative, based on whatever shows I've been to, they seem to be a relatively diverse crowd of, mm-hmm. of people. And I wonder how you deal then with controversial subjects, or if you steer away from them. It's hard these days because almost everything becomes political, right?
Yeah.
But do you hesitate before you bring up a joke or a line that might be controversial?
We try. Brad Sherwood and I have been touring for 15 years. And lately, we've actually started off the show saying, we would like to keep this a political-free show. We're just doing goofy stuff. So please, let's not mention just the current events. Because I don't know, in an improv setting, we can bring justice to what the suggestion is. You know, there are so many great satirical, political satirists out there who can make a point. Our thing would be, well, this is stupid. And then it'd be hard to sort of build on that. And it's not what we do. We're just there to have goofy fun. We throw little things out. But we started to notice during the Bush administration, there was one night Brad made a totally innocuous Bush joke, and the audience was immediately divided in half. And it was like, wow, how did this happen? Americans love making fun of their presidents. And it's just gotten actually worse since then. So we made this choice, just let's keep away from it. It's not what our show is mainly about. And it's really not worth it for that one little moment to suddenly split up our audience.
And that's very different. That's a clear dividing line between how vocal you may or may not be in your personal life as opposed to what you do on stage. And that's especially true. You've been quite public in support of your transgender daughter. In January, you tweeted, quote, "My 90-year-old mother-in-law and 87-year-old mother love and acceptance of our trans daughter warms me. Wonder why some who are younger can't," end quote. So here's an actual comment from the CBC, an interview of your daughter, Kinley, talking about her transition.
I had come out to my mom. My dad was out of town, and it was a lot of conversations, getting all the information, making sure we were on even playing field. It took some time, but I knew that support and acceptance was on the other side. I was not worried for a second.
How do you separate those kind of things? And obviously, transgender issues are very much in the political and public eye, extremely controversial. So how do you successfully keep those separate?
It's just something I've done. I've always sort of kept my professional and private life separate. I mean, except for the fact that I'm known from television, I think people would be surprised if they didn't know me that I was in the entertainment business, because I'm very quiet. I'm very shy. I tend to listen more than actually start conversations. So I always kept those two things. My wife calls the guy on Whose Line the other, because it is nothing like the man she has married, which is great, because I think that would be very tiring to be married to someone who is on all the time. So that's a totally separate issue. And my private life, transgender politics is something I've obviously become involved in lately because of personal experience. And just, you know, it's 2017. I've missed a year. I really feel we should be in the Star Trek part of our life, where everyone has gotten together, we're all doing fine, and now we're heading off into find other worlds to screw up and keep this one good. I think it's ridiculous that we still have to work on gender and race and sexual politics at this time where we have so much information. Maybe we have too much information. It's hard for people to sort of figure out what the truth is and what is just stuff that's thrown out there. So when I do talk about it, it is from my personal life and something I feel very passionate about. And, you know, I'm not going to change a lot of people's perceptions about this, but if I can get a conversation starting, you know, that's a beginning.
In the 30 seconds that we have left, what is the role then for comedy in a time when even a joke divides people?
I think people like Stephen Colbert and Seth Meyers and John Oliver, we need those guys because they're showing the idiocy of the world, of the government, of the people who are in power, and we need that to sort of keep them honest as much as we can. You know, I don't think a comedy show can completely save the world, but it can get people thinking and get them out there and make them want a better world, a world where we can laugh maybe about other things at some point, where, you know, the biggest joke will be about a puppy.
That is comedian Colin Mochrie. He performs tonight and tomorrow night at Dad's Garage in Atlanta. You can get more details and watch some of Colin's past performances at gpbnews.org. Such a pleasure. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.